magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. Joining me in the studio, Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, as healthy as can be. He's here. Yeah, we kind of referenced that just a little yesterday about praying him up and hoping that he would have some answers, and it seems like you're still, like many people, wondering what God's doing, and you've got a good heart, a strong heart. It's just some circuitry that we're praying up that they can kind of figure out how to keep it beating properly. So we'd ask that he would continue to keep Jason in prayer. You know, many of you that have went to the doctor and then you're kind of left with more questions and there's uncertainty and then there's either confusion or it's like, well, then why did I have to see this person if this person's going to comment on it? And I think this is a common reoccurring theme for many of you. It's all confusing and it's kind of mysterious and you kind of feel like, why doesn't this just happen this way? And why do I have to go see this person to get permission to see this person? So many of you have gone through that and know it's kind of agonizing and problematic, and they do their best, but it's hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't know. you wish you had answers and you wish you knew a lot more than you know. But you know what? I'm reminded that if I knew everything I thought I needed to know, it might not go well for me. So I don't really need to know everything.
Yeah. You brought this up during your prayer time. I sometimes write little notes after you finish praying, but yesterday there was a message by Alistair Begg on the resurrection. Mm. And I think he listed like seven things that if the resurrection didn't take place, then, you know, the disciples were lying and Jesus is incredible because, you know, he promised things and you'll be with me in paradise. And, you know, just the case for if it didn't happen, you know, then, you know, our faith, like Paul said, is in vain and all those things. So it was really, really good message. But I'm thinking, wow, we're just a couple weeks out of the Good Friday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and kind of like the countdown and Lent ending pretty soon, how that all works together. So hopefully this has been a special time for you and your church family or you and your own family as you walk through this period before we have Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, then Resurrection Sunday. But it's not too early to already be thinking through how you'll plan that out or celebrate it with your family or your church family. And so,
how you prepare yourself for it, too. I think that too often, you know, I think that God gives us these, I want to say holy days, not holidays, but he gives us these holy days that kind of mark time in the year for us so that we can remember. I mean, that's one of the great Jewish practices that we hear God commanding the people of Israel in the Old Testament, you know, to remember these days, to hold fast to them, to be reminded of them. And that's the reason why they come to these moments where they celebrate. And the same for us, too. I mean, how do we prepare ourselves for these? So, again, I think that what can happen to us is because they come every year, it becomes less about what the meaning is or what the intention is of those days and then more what we've built around them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Easter becomes about the ham and who we're going to have over and the Easter dresses and these kinds of things. What flowers are we going to plant and, you know, all those kinds of things. Instead of, how am I preparing myself to receive yet again the resurrection of Christ? Now, that doesn't mean that Christ dies again and that he's resurrected again, but how am I to receive this news again? You know, how am I to hear of the resurrection again? You know, and what parts of me have become, for lack of a better term, what parts of me have become kind of
rote or mundane?
Or even just kind of indifferent to that news. I mean, the Bible says that this is good news of great joy. And so where have you allowed it to become kind of like a rote thing or kind of allowed yourself to become a little less sensitive to it or a lot less joyful in it? And then how can you reclaim that so that you can, with a real exuberance, come to the empty tomb and proclaim that he has indeed risen? You know, he has risen just as he said he would. You know, I think we kind of have emptied that of all of its feeling. And we you know, he rose because we know it. Like, we know that he rose. No. That should leave you breathless because he rose from the grave. And it wasn't just this miraculous kind of a man was dead and now he's alive. But the implications of his rising from the dead is new life, is resurrection life. His death is that you get to live anew. You know, that you don't, death doesn't have its final word. Oh, death, where is your sting? Mm-hmm. You get to live eternally with the Father. And in the same way, Jesus has made peace with the righteous wrath and anger of God on your behalf. I mean, there's so many layers and implications to what we already are almost breathless because it's a miracle, a man who rises from the dead, who rises from the grave. And so how do we prepare ourselves for that? Mm-hmm. I mean, are we praying? Are we reading? Are we spending time just saying, Jesus, help me in all the places where I am asleep? Mm-hmm. You know, all the places where I need to wake up to the kind of joy that you desire for me to have. You know, Easter should be, I think, almost in a way, at least it is especially this year for me, as I've just been trying to prepare my heart. It's been a challenging time because I realize that there are places in my life where I wouldn't say that they're sinful places, but there are places in my life where I'm not as attentive to the ways that I should be. I'm a little ambivalent to the ways I should be. I mean, we read at BSF, you know, Romans chapter 12 and verses 9 through 21, which is, I mean, the title is enough, right? The marks of a true Christian. Yeah. You know, I mean, you read that and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, you always ask God, you know, I just need a list. And so here God provides one. Now, if you don't know that it's there, it's because you won't like what it says.
Yeah.
That's really, I mean, that's...
You probably avoided going there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth, because it begins in verse 9 by saying, let your love be genuine. Wait a second, what does that mean? That means that God gets to define love, not the world. Wait, but I don't want to love people in a genuine sort of way, because that means that I have to sacrifice. That means I have to give of myself. That means I have to tolerate things, and not even tolerate, but I have to forgive and I have to walk alongside things that I don't agree with, and I have to do it in a loving way. And then it says abhor evil. We all like that. We're going to wave our flag on that. But all abhor evil doesn't mean to get up and to fight it. It means to not like it. Because when you don't like what is evil, you're driven more towards what is lovely. And then it says hold fast to what is good. That's an interesting one, because it was pointed out to me a few nights ago that to hold fast to what is good, the word good in Greek there means approved. So to hold fast to what is approved. Now think about 2 Timothy 2:15, which says that you are to be an approved workman who rightly handles the word of God. And so hold fast to what is good, what is approved. And what is approved? The right handling of the word of God, what God says. And because that's to be the approved man, the man who holds on to what is good, is a man who has been approved by the word of God, which means the stamp and seal of the word of God is upon you. You live in accord, in harmony with the word of God. You try and live out the scriptures. You try and actually be this kind of person that Romans 12 is telling you to be. That actually matters to you. And I think that's probably the bigger point I would make. It actually matters to you. You know what I mean? I mean, when people, you know, people will fight for all kinds of things. You know, and usually you find out when what they're fighting for is what matters to them most. And I get kind of frustrated, maybe a little, a lot.
Testy?
A lot unhappy. That more Christians don't fight for Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you have to fight on his behalf, because he's way stronger than we are. But that don't say, he's what matters. I'm willing to take a stand for Jesus. I'm willing.
I mean, we kind of a passionate intentionality that
sure.
Jesus matters, and so you're seeing it in me.
Yeah, well, how many issues have we seen that come on the table, you know, kind of social, cultural issues, where we're willing to set Jesus aside so that we can address the issue?
Yeah.
Instead of allowing Jesus to stand front and center and allow him to address the issue. Because there is nothing, you know, when people say to me, I've had many conversations about cultural, social issues where people will say to me, yeah, but the Bible's silent on that. Jesus doesn't say anything about that. I said, well, then you have not read hard enough, because the Bible addresses everything, and the Bible and Jesus is not silent about those things. Yeah, but Jesus doesn't talk about gay marriage. No, you're right. He doesn't address that per se. But Jesus does talk about fidelity. Jesus does talk about marriage, and Jesus does say that he is the word that was proclaimed in the Old Testament, where we learn a whole lot of things about what God wants and desires for us. So Jesus does actually address all these things. It's just you want Jesus to address this. And what he actually did is he addressed all the underlying things that deal with that. You know, he talks about fidelity. He talks about faithfulness. He talks about long-suffering. He talks about all the things that go into a good, healthy, right marriage. And when you do those things, see, we just want to know the end thing. I think it was Martin Luther who said, you don't even need all the Ten Commandments if you just do the first one. You know, and so Jesus tells you, you know, be faithful. Well, gosh darn it, I just want to tell everybody, if you're wondering, like, today, how does my marriage get better? Start by being faithful. It'll probably be life-changing in your marriage. It probably will.
Yeah, it's not that complicated.
Be long-suffering. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think that the things that you... Fidelity? I just think that all of a sudden those will be game-changers in your marriage. I mean, you just want to know how to make your marriage better. Well, God's told you how to make your marriage better. But you know what? You don't like those answers. We don't like those answers sometimes. That's why I think that Romans 12 is so hard. I just want to read it because I think that it'll just make people queasy in their seats. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. That means don't worship like you're half asleep. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. I don't know about you, but those three right there are so difficult. So difficult. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Now, by the way, blessing them is not the things that most people are saying about that. Those are not blessings. Those are called curses. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one with evil for evil. We talk about Easter. And we even talked about before the program, we had a few moments and we were just talking about some of the things, you know, that were happening at the cross. And you were telling me about how Dr. Webb does this overview of the medical kind of autopsy of what was happening at the cross.
Yeah, the suffering. It's brutal to hear all that Jesus suffered on our behalf, what he was feeling, what medically he was going through, how the pain would have been searing through, you know, his body. And it's just, I mean, I told you, I can't take it. It's so hard to recognize humanly how he was feeling, what was going on in his system, his body, his nerves, and just the brutality of that suffering is, we can't fathom it.
Yeah, and so when this verse says in 17, repay no one evil for evil, I mean, just think of Luke 23 and 34, where Jesus going through all these things that Dr. Webb walks through, you know, the back shredded, rubbing up against the cross, the hot sun, the hands and feet nailed, no sleep. I mean, he was thirsty. He was all of these things, something that none of us can even picture or even do. And then Jesus says from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would say that. I think I would have other things. Or I just wouldn't say anything, and I would just groan like, oh, this kill me. But no, Jesus is even in that moment forgiving. He's not repaying evil for evil, but he is offering forgiveness in the face of evil. And in a kind of evil that if any of us experienced it, we would not handle ourselves the same way. It says, but give thought to what you do and be honorable in the sight of all. If possible... And I'm reading this slow because I underlined it, I put a box around it, and I underlined it in another color, which means that I need to really think about this one. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Wow. Beloved, never...
With who?
With everyone.
How many people?
Everyone. All. A-L-L. Yeah. Everyone. Everyone. There's not like, yeah, but you know, God, those people over there. No, all. Everyone. Live peaceably. And I love that it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you.
Doesn't matter if it depends on them.
It's really amazing verse because if possible, okay, all things are possible with God. Okay. So if you come to that verse and you're like, okay, well, what does that mean if it's possible? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about how things become possible. It's through the power and strength of God. Then so far as it depends on you, that means it actually depends on you.
Yeah.
That means this verse says a whole lot about your faith in God. This verse says a whole lot about your walk with God and your dependence upon God, because all things are possible through Him. That strength is possible through Him. And now it depends on you. What? To do right to the other person? No. To draw upon that strength, to have God help you to be peaceable in a place where you want to make war. And you know what that's like. You walk in, you see somebody, you're just angry, and you're like, man, I'm going to go to war with them. I'm going to pound them. I'm just going to get them. You know, and that's not what God wants you to do, because as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, which means that some things you're going to have to say, it's horrible, and I don't know how it works out, but God's the one who takes care of that. God ultimately is the one who... you know, we want so badly to spank people when they're bad, when we don't even have the power to do that. And, you know, and how many times has that happened? I mean, how many times has something really frustrated something, and you've tried to address it, and the outcome was just not what you wanted it to be? You're like, well, they didn't even understand. They didn't even get it. That's because we don't have the power to truly right that situation or right that heart, but only God can do it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him.
Hey, just again, in case somebody's just tuning in, we're in
Romans.
Yeah,
and now they're mad, they just turned the channel.
Wait, we're Romans chapter...
Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21.
And there's like, what, 25? I mean, how many of you said, like, there's a list here, and as you kept going through it, I thought, 1, 2, 3, and
yeah.
I was like...
It's 12, a whole lot.
15, there's about 25.
Of things you need to do, and all of them, none of them are easy. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The last verse there is so profound to me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that if you don't address evil, you actually become a kind of evil. You actually become the evil that you hate. And here it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so one of the ways we allow evil to overcome us is not that we become evil ourselves, but that our response to that evil is not good. It is evil in itself. It is another kind of evil. Why? Because it's self-serving.
Yeah, by being complacent or passive,
sure.
you're allowing the evil to exist.
Well, I think we do one of two things. I think that we either respond in a different way, but it's just as evil. You know, so there was a video, and many people would probably argue with me about this. You can. I really don't care. But there's a video that was made.
You care a little. I mean.
Well, I do care. I do care that people, only because I think that we really need to be thoughtful about these things. And I know my first response to this video, and then I know my second response. And I like my second one better, because my first response wants me to just, you know, that's just
hammer
them. That's my flesh. Yep. It's my flesh. But there was a video of a gentleman who brought a homeless man into a McDonald's to feed him, to buy him something to eat.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, and so somehow, we don't know the whole story, but the police were called in. The manager asked if when the man was done, he would leave the restaurant and be on his way. My thought is that maybe at some point this man has been in this McDonald's before and spent long periods of time. But the gentleman who bought him the meal, who's sitting across the room, this is my first problem with the video, is that the man is not sitting with the homeless man and eating a meal.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting somewhere else. So he bought him a meal. Praise God. That's great. But now he's sitting at a distance and kind of watching the situation. The police come in. Now he starts to film it. And he becomes belligerent. And I thought, this is not how you address the situation. I mean, I don't know. I would probably have done the same thing that he did. So when I say I don't agree with what he did, I want everybody to know my flesh would probably do the same thing at first. But having the benefit of hindsight and having the benefit of standing at a distance and watching this, I go, gosh, you know what? I guess I would just have loved if he would have packed everything up, taken the man and said, let's go somewhere else. Let me buy you something else and we'll sit down and eat a meal. But sometimes our reactions can almost be as bad as what is happening. It is a situation where the man is being evicted from the restaurant unfair. Is it horrible? Yes. Because all of us deserve to be equally loved in that. But is our response in kind? I think that this gentleman had a great opportunity to show the grace of God. Maybe he doesn't know who God is, but he had a great opportunity to show the grace of God, to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to go like Jesus did the third way. I'm going to go in a way that will absolutely, because I have to think the police officer and the manager in the restaurant, I think they would be like, wait, what just happened? Like, that went well. Because whenever we have situations like that happen, they don't go well.
Yeah.
Wait, this situation just went well.
Yeah, and I read into that and thinking, gosh, they're kind of trouncing McDonald's and the corporation, but that guy had been there many other times and created a lot of disturbance and was a problem that they've kicked out many times. And, you know, it wasn't right that they just kicked him out again, but this third option, had that guy just said, hey, you know what, this is unfair, we won't come back here again, let me take you a different place. And like you said, he was filming it all. It wasn't like he was sitting with the guy and...
Right. I mean, he was across the room eating his meal. It's not like he backed up to get a good angle on the camera. He was eating in a different area than the guy. And I said, why weren't you sitting with him? If you truly are invested in this... But here, so I had an interaction with a friend of mine, and he said, yeah, but you don't understand. You know, this is a good thing. This is uncovering, you know, evil. This is uncovering unfairness and all that. And I said, yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, I really do. But when the Good Samaritan happened upon the man who had been beaten, he didn't trounce the religious systems that had failed the man. He served the man.
Yeah.
And I go, that's what we should be like. And he did it for nothing other than serving the man. There was nothing else. Evil doesn't need you to uncover it per se. God will deal with it. That's part of his sovereignty, and I think that's maybe part of his sovereignty that we struggle to trust.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm in so much trouble probably right now.
No, I like this third way. I hadn't thought about that, and I didn't know that guy was across the room, but... You know, our natural instinct, I want justice, I'm going to expose this, this is wrong, McDonald's this. And yet, the quiet, gentle, hey, go over there, care for the guy, take him home with them, or provide more than just that simple meal.
I just don't think we need more videos and more disparaging rhetoric. We need as much as, if possible, and as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with others. And in that moment, I mean, he was kind of going after the police, too, and I thought, well, the Bible says, you know, submit to authorities. And by the way, the person who wrote that was Peter, and he wrote it about Nero, who was crucifying Christians and using them to light his gardens at night as he set them on fire. So he's telling you to submit to probably one of the most evil people he knew that was directly affecting him on a daily basis. And so I just think that as Christians, we have to think thoughtfully about what the Bible says and allow that to lead and guide us. That has to be the rudder. And for many of us, maybe we need this time where we visit the tomb, where we stoop in and look and see that it's empty, where we embrace the resurrection to help us to understand that we have to live a different way. We live not of this world. And I know that's so difficult because we have our feet firmly planted in this world. Mm. But our hearts and our minds are set towards heaven. That's what Colossians 3 says.
Mm. Romans chapter 12, everyone. You want a list to live a godly life? I don't know if you're going to want to turn there. We'd recommend it. Pray it up and see if you can spend some time and how God would speak to you very specifically. Great passage. Thank you, Pastor Jason. Resurrection Sunday, a few weeks away. What a great time to celebrate what God has done. Mm. He's shown his love for you. Yep. He's shown his love for me. He has a plan and purpose for all of us, and he wants to live and abide in us. And we can experience that everlasting life even today as we walk in cadence with his leading, and he desires to transform our lives and hopefully us to be a fragrance of Christ, a fragrance of love and care and compassion to those around us. So be in God's Word today, and thank you, Pastor Jason Chipko, for joining us. We'll continue to pray you up and the radio staff and God to continue to use these broadcasts to minister to you and those around you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.